In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. We have for us a little lesson, big lesson in courage today. We commemorate two distinct but related acts, both of which required courage. Now, the main theme the church presents us with today is found in the faithfulness and the actions of the myrrh-bearing women, that little band of our Lord's most faithful disciples who happen to all be women. Now, Jesus, in his death, never got a proper funeral. He never got a proper burial. After all his ministry, after all his love and his care and his compassion, after all his healing and his forgiveness, after his reaching out and raising up of others, when it came to his own death, being so close to the Sabbath, being the way in which he died at the hands of the Romans so publicly, he got what might be called a reverent but rushed burial, and all his friends scattered into hiding, and he got no funeral whatsoever. Now, when we had to scale back in our church, when we had to scale back funerals during the pandemic, we mourned it because we couldn't all be present for the burial of our loved ones. But at least we were able to serve them with honor. Jesus got nothing. Jesus got nothing. Our Lord and Savior, the ultimate friend of humanity, got no funeral at all. So as soon as the Sabbath had passed, these women, before dawn even, stepped up to do this noble task. They weren't going to let it go a minute longer than they could. To give the Lord something of a proper burial, they had to step up to do this. And I don't think we always appreciate just how vulnerable, just how exposed these women would be in this act of performing a funeral ritual for the condemned Jesus. This took courage. This act was, in one sense, beyond them. And I don't mean beyond them in the sense that it wasn't beyond their character or beyond their integrity. That's not how I mean it. But it was certainly beyond their social place. It was certainly beyond their social position. Women going alone to lead a religious rite was not within their social class, their social place. That was beyond them. And not just that, but for a man, the religious authorities themselves had just condemned to death as a false prophet. If you're going to compare today, it would be like a group of women going to perform a liturgical service after their synod of bishops had said not to. And they'd go and do it anyway. And not just that, but there were also going to be soldiers guarding the tomb. And these soldiers weren't exactly known to be kind and gentle to the Jews, let alone to women on their own. I'm sure these women were self-conscious, at least, and more likely terrified. But they do it. They do it anyway. This act of devotion would definitely require these women to step up and out of the safety of anonymity, you know, blending in with the crowd, step up out of the safety of social norms, step up out of the safety of their comfort zone, everything that they would have considered ordinary. Now, in addition to the story of these brave women going to the tomb to perform a liturgical rite that nobody else would, the church also backs us up a little, back to the burial of the Savior. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, we know from John's Gospel, these two went and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, this too is actually a more courageous act than we sometimes realize. Both Joseph and Nicodemus were members of the council that just condemned Jesus to death, prominent members. The council that had just handed Jesus over to the hated Romans. This is who they had their membership with. And now it says in the Gospels, neither one of these two, Joseph nor Nicodemus, consented to that condemnation of our Lord. But by going to ask for his body and taking him for burial, this act declares themselves to be the Lord's allies, to be the Lord's disciples. They are standing up to and rejecting the insanity of the very council they belong to. And they had worked many years, decades probably, getting to that position through study, through service, through obedience, through teaching, to finally attain that most exalted position of being a member of the Sanhedrin. And then in this one reverent and tender act of burying the body of Jesus, of admitting that they believe, they're throwing that accomplishment and that position away. Now, crooked as he might be, to stand up against the high priest and his council, that was the end of their careers on this council. There is no way they're going back the next Sabbath and meeting with this council. That was over. And that's a different kind of courage than the women showed. Not bigger, just different. Just different. Whereas the myrrh-bearing women had to step up to a new role, Joseph and Nicodemus had to step down from a role that was familiar to them. And more than a role, it was their livelihood. It was their social circle. It was their reputation, all gone in this one act of reverencing the body of Jesus. Both of these acts, the women being willing to step up and the men being willing to step down, took a great deal of courage. And in fact, took a different kind of courage than they had inside. Now, every human being, every one of us, is given a certain measure of courage just being born into the world. Some get less, some get more. Some work to increase their courage, some bury their courage in fear. And yes, the courage inside of you is from God. If we forget that, it is to our own peril. But even though our inner courage is of God, it is in limited measure because it's in us, broken and sinful and fleshly people. That courage is just a small measure. But there's another kind of courage open to you that is beyond any human limitation. It's the kind that is found in Paul's declaration, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." It's the kind of courage that's found in Paul's declaration, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." A courage beyond those disciples was available to them because Christ had come to live in them and Christ had come to dwell in them. I mean, don't you just love the phrase we heard? It said, Joseph of Arimathea took courage and went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. It doesn't say he found courage inside. It doesn't say he dug up courage from within. It says he took courage. He took courage from somewhere else, from outside of him. To take courage means it wasn't already there, but he found it from elsewhere, from out there somewhere. If he had relied on himself, it would have been nothing. Instead, Joseph took courage from another source, from the source of all courage and from the source of life itself. He took courage from Jesus Christ because Christ was now living in him. And the same thing with the myrrh-bearing women. When they took courage to step up and go to the tomb to do a proper burial against all social norms and all personal safety and all common sense, that wasn't just mustering up something from inside. They took courage from the one who is courage. They let Jesus Christ live inside of them. They found a well of courage that is never ending and that is given to them as a gift. When these women step up into that new role, it was no longer they who lived, but Christ was living in them. And that is a world of difference. Now, sometimes your faith, what you believe, what you know to be true, and what you know to be of love, will require you to step up into a role that is beyond your comfort zone, to step up to a role that is beyond you, but to step up to a role that needs you anyway. And sometimes it will require you to step down from something that is comfortable, step down from something that is familiar, step down from something even that you may have worked at for a long time, but no longer fits. Either one, stepping up or stepping down, can require real courage. And in our broken humanity, the measure of courage inside you and inside me may very well be inadequate. But by letting Christ in, by opening our hearts to the one who is our source of life, by letting Jesus Christ dwell within you, you are no longer limited to the foibles and measures of broken humanity, but in Christ are free to take courage from the source of courage and from the one who is himself courage, so that it is no longer you living, but Christ living in you. Amen.